Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to part three here on a Saturday, July 2nd, 2022 edition here on the Chase and Moose podcast, presented by the Blue Wire Pod Network. Atlanta Sports Guys, as we wrap up here today with Garrett Chapman and Max Markovich to talk all things Atlanta Hawks today. There's just a bunch of Hawks stuff. So no Falcons or Braves, but just a bunch of Hawks stuff today with the DeJounte Murray trade this week. Kevin Herter getting moved to Sacramento. John Collins still be on the roster as of this recording. So we had a lot to parse through. DeAndre Hunter's impending extension. Nate McMillan's future coaching the team. A lot to talk about here on a Saturday, July 2nd, 2022 edition here on the Chase and Moose podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Thank you again for making the Chase and Moose podcast part of your daily listen, wherever and however that may be, on your preferred podcast player. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Chase Podcast. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff. All right, part three as we wrap up here on a Saturday. Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back. Atlanta Sports Guys back here on a Friday afternoon. Max Markovich, Garrett Chapman, both back in the building. Very, very excited to have both Atlanta Sports Guys join me on this Friday edition, where whatever we talk about will not matter in an hour because the NBA has decided that content never sleeps and that things have to get done and deals have to be made. I thought about doing a whole bit based on the Brian Windhorst appearance on First Take this morning and just seeing if I could start the podcast in a similar way. But I was like, I don't have the energy. I can't do it. Like, that was art. That was cinema. People forget that was absolute cinema from ESPN's Brian Windhorst today. But he was also right, because the Jazz traded everything for Rudy Gobert, essentially, outside of Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns. But Max, you wanted this to be the first question in terms of Rudy Gobert and DeJounte Murray, which feels like forever ago that the Hawks just traded for DeJounte Murray. But did Schlenk do the right thing, pick the right deal by picking DeJounte Murray, now that we know what the cost would have been to trade for Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, I think when we saw the compensation, it's not much of a question, right? Like, if we were giving up four unprotected picks and a swap and a couple of good young players for Rudy Gobert, I think we'd have the pitchforks out right now. But I think I meant it more in the, like, you know, the Hawks had one opportunity to really cash in their assets for a star or someone close to a star or a second guy for Trey. And the question was always, you know, I think we've been batting this question around for a while now of, is it a secondary creator or is it a big guy? And I think that was kind of the question. I would be stunned if the Hawks hadn't had at least some sort of conversations about Gobert at some point and had to come to this discussion of, is it Gobert or is it Ayton or is it a guy like Murray? And I think they made the right choice with Murray. I'm really, really excited about Murray, and I'm sure we'll get into this a ton, but like, it is not without risk, right? Like, this is a risky move, But I think all three of us would agree that it was time for Schlenk and Co. to take that risk, to take the plunge on the right guy. And so I'm really excited about DeJounte Murray. If you compare the two packages, like I think the national media was going in a little bit on the Hawks giving up a couple unprotected picks and an unprotected swap. But if you compare the two packages, would you rather pay four unprotected picks in the swap to pay Rudy Gobert $40 million, or would you rather do two unprotected picks, one heavily protected pick, and one swap for a 25-year-old all-star guard on a $16 million deal? Like, I don't think it's even close. So,
and 3 years in control.
2 years, right? I think it's 2 years. And then whatever. Regardless, I'm really, really pumped about the Trey DeJounte backcourt. I'm a little less pumped about the Herter trade, but we'll get there. And it's funny because like the trade happened. It's the biggest trade the Hawks have made and biggest move the Hawks have made, and I don't even know how long. And you know how 12 hours later, it's KD. It's all KD. KD everywhere. No one even talks about DeJounte anymore.
What do you think, Garrett?
I mean, the media moves fast, right? I mean, we're already not even talking about this, and we're going back to almost exactly what we're used to with the Atlanta Hawks. I'm not 100% sure if it's. I thought it was 3 years. It could be 2 years. But the point is, I mean, look, the Hawks needed another guy who can handle the basketball at a high level. And DeJounte Murray is that guy. I mean, this is a guy who is one of the best pick and roll point guards or guards in the NBA. But my biggest question is, can these guys play off of the basketball effectively? If they can, this is a slam dunk. This turns into what potentially like Chris Paul and James Harden, like what those guys were. Chris Paul with anybody, like Devin Booker is another one of those guys. I mean, but they can both play off of the ball. You can see some serious success. However, what we've seen from these two guys throughout the course of their career is that they want to have the basketball in their hands. So that's the big question mark for me. Like if they can play off of the basketball, we've seen what Trae Young has done in a small sample size. I mean, he shot like 45% from three or something crazy. So if he can do that and we get Trae Young some catch and shoot opportunities, the sky is quite literally the limit. But the next question as far as roster development goes is what we're going to do with the front court. I mean, is Clint Capella going to be here? Is John Collins? Does John Collins want to be here? Chris Kirshner had a report that said basically that John Collins was sick and tired of dealing with all this stuff. And he was out. He's never said anything himself as far as I know. And I think he would be a solid person with a guy like DeJounte Murray added to this rotation. But I mean, if he wants out, he wants out. I just don't know how they're going to backfill the position for John Collins. I don't know who all's out there anymore. But
well, John Collins, it's like he has every right to be pissed because he's been involved in trade rumors and his name's been out there forever. So it's like at some point, just trade me. Like it's not good for my mental health. It's not good for like me trying to buy in on this team and this culture and everything when I'm not involved in it and everything. Like in every future conversation, it's not John Collins building with this group. It's just Trey, and it's Capella, it's Onyeka, it's DeAndre Hunter. And that's something we'll get into in a second as well, because that's now very much on the forefront for Schlenk and what he decides to do there. But I think your point is well taken in terms of John, and like, in I think we were texting about this, where no matter what they do for John outside of like a Harrison Barnes type thing, they're getting less back. Like you're getting picks back that you gave up in the DeJounte pick, in the DeJounte trade. So if you move John Collins, the roster gets worse in the short term, because most trades for John Collins, it's teams that are contenders or they're guys. Like if you trade John Collins to a good basketball team who wants to win now, they're not giving up the equal value for John Collins. They're trying to beef things up and trying to leverage you to give them John Collins. And they're like, hey, we'll do the maybe one unprotected or something. But like, you're not getting real players that can help you and fill that four spot on your roster. So like, as awesome as Harrison Barnes would be in Atlanta, I think Schlenk knows this too, and why threading the needle on a John Collins trade is so complicated is that you're going to lose it in the short term. I don't think there's a way around it, losing it in the short term. And it's basically doing John a solid wherever you move him, but just making sure that you get some stuff back. But there's also the possibility that there's addition by subtraction, where it gives them an opportunity to play more guys at the four, maybe start a neck at the four and see what he does there. You slide in Jalen Johnson into this rotation finally, because I had some folks reach out to me about like the Herter trade. And it's like, well, somebody has to start getting moved. If you're going to take all these wings and you're going to draft every Duke wing from the last 3 years, then somebody has to move. Part of the value in Kevin Huerter was he was making nothing and being not a lottery guy and good value for a while. Now it needs to be AJ Griffin, or it needs to be Jalen Johnson. It needs to be one of those guys they need to play. And I don't know. I think John Collins is one where Schlink does not want to make a bad deal. And I think that's very clear in how careful he's been and how just kind of how he's viewed the market and how he's treated his guys and how he really hasn't made a move to this point. DeJounte is a safer deal than Gobert. Like, that's a lot of unprotected first. That's a lot of stuff out the door. But I also think, like, when 5 years from now, we're going to look around the league and everybody's got somebody else's picks. Like, that just seems like where we're going to is, like, they're moving picks and they're moving. It's like, if we need to get more picks, we'll trade our current guys and we'll get unprotected back. So it's just no one's going to have their own picks, kind of like what Atlanta's had, because there's just so much player movement and people just keep throwing around each other's picks. Like, the pick that we went to San Antonio, the first one, is the Charlotte pick. That's the 2023 Charlotte pick. So I don't know. I think two things can be true. The DeJounte is a better bet than Gobert. I also just think they're going to lose the John Collins trade. And I think that's just kind of what happens when you wait this long, and his just kind of where the Hawks are at with him, where everyone around the league knows John Collins does not want to be there. And he thinks that he's played his last game in Atlanta. You're not getting good at you. Like, you're not getting win now guys for him back. Like, it's just not happening.
But here's what I'll say about Collins and Huerter, and I'm a little bit skeptical about the Huerter deal, but here's what we can say that I think is a little bit complimentary to the Hawks, in that Schlenk clearly believes in not relinquishing assets for nothing. So, you know, I think it's quite clear that he didn't see John Collins as part of the long-term picture in Atlanta, but he wasn't going to lose John Collins last offseason for nothing. He was going to pay, he was going to wait out that contract, he was going to sign it, and figure it out later. And that's what he's doing. And the same can be said for Huerter, right? Huerter is not John Collins caliber player. He's a useful role player. He's a valuable NBA player. They signed him to a relatively team-friendly deal, I think. They kept the asset, and now they get a couple expiring wings and a first-rounder for it. And so I don't think Schlenk has let perfect be the enemy of good here. But I also think you can – who are the four guys right now on the Hawks roster that are locked in as the core? It's Trey, it's DeJounte, it appears to be DeAndre Hunter, and it's Onyeka Okongwu. And what can we say about that four? It's Trey, and then we've said all along, you need to build a team around Trey that is long, versatile, and can guard. Everyone else needs to be able to be versatile in guarding. Those other three guys, DeJounte, DeAndre Hunter, and Onyeka Okongwu, are that. Like, they epitomize that. And so I think you can sort of see the spine of what long-term Travis Schlenk wants to build here. We can talk about DeAndre Hunter being part of that equation, and I'm skeptical about picking DeAndre Hunter and his knees as part of that core and extending him, which it appears they're going to do. That's a separate conversation. But if you're building a team around Trey, you want another guard who is – he might be one of the two to three best perimeter guard defenders in the NBA, DeJounte Murray. You want a wing defender – who can guard bigger wings, DeAndre Hunter, and you want a versatile big who can switch and guard in the pick and roll. That's Onyeka Okongwu. And so I think that's why I'm most optimistic, is those guys are all young. They're all 25 and under, I think, and they all should be here for the long haul.
And another thing I'll say about DeAndre Hunter specifically is I'm very comfortable with him being a part of that core as long as he's that third or fourth guy. The pressure that I think that we specifically put on him and a lot of Hawks fans in general is to be the second best player on the Atlanta Hawks. And I think what we saw is that he's just not that guy. But I think this addition with DeJounte Murray specifically is going to help him astronomically, where he can actually be more of a 3-and-D specific player rather than being like the primary defender on somebody and then have to we're going to lean on him to do some sort of development and do the catch and shoot. But he also needs to put the ball on the floor, and he's just not that guy. Like, in the basis of this offense that we're going to be having with Bogey Bogdanovic coming off the bench, he's not going to have to dribble the basketball, which I think is fantastic. I think that works well for him. At no point is he ever going to be the second option. And the more that he is in the catch and shoot on offense, I think the better the Atlanta Hawks are going to be on offense. And then the more energy he's going to have on defense to guard some of the better defender, the better offensive players and bigger players. And Onyeka Okongwu, I mean, we've talked about the length of him. I mean, you mentioned it just now. We've just sort of salivated over the fact that he is just a stud in the post. And he can also, he's agile and athletic enough to go out to the perimeter on more agile and athletic offensive threats like a Giannis or a Joel Embiid. And he has shown that he's capable of doing it. And he did that as a rookie. So look, I'm really excited with what this team can be, but they are gambling right now. This is a pretty big gamble. The big thing is, like you said, Chase, like John Collins, I don't see how they win a trade right now. I don't see how they were going to go send somebody to go get Rudy Gobert or something, or DeAndre Ayton maybe. I don't see how that works. I don't see how that fits into what the team is doing right now, unless you're also moving Clint Capella for a pick. Like, you could send Clint Capella and then maybe a Bogey or I don't know how it works. I really don't know how you send Jalen Johnson maybe to Phoenix. I don't know what you do, but based off of the current roster construction, I'm comfortable with the team. If John Collins wants to play here in Atlanta, I'm comfortable with that. I think he's going to continue to develop that shot too. So I just don't know where he's going to get the looks.
Well, Gent's gone, so that's out. He went over to – he's in L.A., right? Like, Gent's – he was Collins' personal shooting coach, right? He's basically been responsible for Collins becoming a three-point shooter. Have they replaced that spot? Is it just going to be Van Exel? Is he moving up to assistant coach? Is that what's happening there? Do we know?
I don't know.
It's a pretty limited spot. Like, it's just Nate's son, and then Joe Prenti, I think, is all that I think is locked in there. I don't know.
Do you guys think the choice was keeping Herter or Bogey? And if it was, which one would you have picked?
Hold on,
I think
Max.
They made the right
Hold
decision.
On, Max.
They made the right decision here.
Yeah, Max.
Bogey Bogdanovich is.
Yeah.
I completely disagree. Wait, I think they
every
should.
Every five-man lineup with Bogey, and when you watch Bogey, the answer is
he's healthy. Assuming he's healthy.
Well, Bogey's why are you assuming answer. He's healthy, but you can't
That's
stay healthy?
That's the big assumption.
This is my problem. This is my problem with Hunter, too. Like, they have prioritized extending Hunter, and I completely agree with everything you said, Garrett. Like, this is the perfect role for DeAndre Hunter. Instead of trying to make him into like Jaylen Brown or Paul George or something, like, this is what DeAndre Hunter is supposed to be. But what makes us think, and Chase has been all over this since his, you know, second year in the league, first year in the league. What is the evidence that he can be healthy? And that's my problem, is like, he's probably our third or fourth most important player coming into the season, but in some ways he's the most important player, because there's no like for like replacement on the roster for DeAndre Hunter at all. And
what makes you draft AJ Griffin and Jalen Johnson in consecutive years?
AJ Griffin didn't guard anyone in college.
Yeah.
Like, this but is I think
AJ Griffin also has knee problems, by the way.
Right. Yeah. This is my problem with the AJ Griffin pick too, is like, you need to stack the roster with wings who can guard and over, like, who can guard guards and who can guard bigs. Like, AJ Griffin, right? Like, I don't mind
starting at the four. By the way, let me go ahead and lock that in. Opening night, he's starting at the four.
I don't mind the flyers on Justin Holiday and Mo Harkless. Mm. Like, those are good bodies to have. Like, you need more of them. But if DeAndre Hunter goes down, you're starting Justin Holiday and Mo Harkless at the three and the four. Like, I'm not excited about that. And the shooting is a real, real, real problem.
Well,
especially
the shooting,
if DeJounte
too,
Murray doesn't take a leap there.
Well, I think that's another part of it, is
what
that
numbers
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but
DeJounte, he's like 34%.
Well, I'm more concerned about 32. His what is his catch and shoot 3-point percentage though? Like, something
his catch and shoot might have been 34. There was something where I was like, his form, because his form looks pretty good. And I'm like, you know, maybe he's going to get more open looks. Maybe he's a good catch and shoot guy, but it was forced to take off the dribble with the Spurs. It really wasn't a lot of that. So we'll see.
Well, I think you're right about DeAndre, is that the health stuff. Like, if Garrett, you're right with him being in a better role now at third, fourth guy, but like, it's just, you're gambling a lot. But we also, I'm not penciling in DeAndre yet. He hasn't gotten the extension yet. He could still be moving somewhere else. He could be a part of a John Collins package. Like, I don't know. Like, nothing would surprise me based on what's happening so far this summer, where if they keep the only guy I would say, like, from the starters from last year, who I think is just they're not going anywhere, is Capella. Like, I think it's clear Clinton, Trey are very close, and that Trey does not want Capella to go anywhere. So I think that's locked in. But the Bogey stuff, I understand, like, the nervousness. I am just if he is with DeJounte and Trey playing as much minutes as they can together at the 1-2, that takes a lot of my concerns away from Bogey's knee, where Bogey had to do more. Bogey had a usage rate that was like 88% last year or 80%. Something, it was in the 80s. And he was the Trey has never played with above 80% usage guy to this point in his career. And Bogey's it. So like that is the most high usage guy Trey's played with. DeAndre Hunter's never been that. Bogey at least will create his own shot. Bogey, at least when he's healthy, we've seen him swing series. We've seen him really, really change a playoff game. Like Bogey, you need some veterans in the room who I know what I'm getting. And I know I'm getting a guy who believes in his shot and believes when he's healthy, he is someone who can take pressure off Trey. Like if Trey doesn't have it one night, Bogey is not scared to take over. But
between those three.
Yeah. And he'll have less stress on him, like less stress on him if Murray and Trey are gobbling up so many minutes at the 1-2 anyway. I'm more concerned if Nate's going to stagger Murray Trey. Something tells me that that's going to drive us nuts all next year, is that he's not going to do that. And that's going to be a problem. But I don't know. I'm not as worried about Bogey's health as I am DeAndre, because DeAndre is a cornerstone piece. Bogey is still someone you can move. And if he's not healthy, you can figure out a bench spot and move on from Bogey. If you give Hunter that extension and you give Hunter the keys to the castle at the wing spot, and we're like, we need you to be our Andrew Wiggins over the next couple of years, that's a lot of responsibility still to Hunter, that he has the talent. He could be that guy, but at almost 25, theoretical DeAndre Hunter just kind of has to go out the window. Like, that's just too much money.
We can't call him a cornerstone at this point.
Well, I mean,
we have one cornerstone,
extension,
and his name is Trey Young. Now, DeJounte Murray.
I think Yucca deserves to be in that
DeAndre Hunter is not a cornerstone. DeAndre Hunter is a strong role player. And I think in the current stack of the lineup, the rotation right now, he is a strong role player, and I think that's perfect.
But I think they've tried to make him other things, right? They've tried.
If they sign him to a contract that is equivalent of a cornerstone, like if you get him to $20 million a year, 3 years, let's say that's what it is, I'm out. That's too much.
I don't know about that. Honestly, we should kind of readjust our priors on like contract numbers and what they look like and who's getting them. You know, Jalen Brunson getting $25 million or whatever isn't what it used to be. Like that makes him like the 15th highest paid point guard in the NBA or something. It's not like I don't want us to be like stunned by the sticker price on a DeAndre Hunter extension. I think it's more like who are they showing is a priority for the future and who is not. Mm-hmm. And I think you might be right, Chase, with Capella, where like if they were just looking to shed salary with Herter, I would have preferred it to come from Capella. But I think it's clear that A, Herter probably had a little more value, and B, there is a reason Capella is sticking around, and it might be Trey. Because I think all of us would I would love if they went into next season with Onyeka, signed a legit backup at center, and just rolled with that. Like, I fully trust Onyeka to take that leap. But it doesn't appear they're ready to do that. You know, they were looking to shed salary with Herter, and they got below the tax, and I think that's notable. But like, they're prioritizing four players right now, and everyone else can be had for the right price. And there's some variance of like selling to like willing to listen on everyone except, it seems like, those four.
How much of this do you think is actually Trey Young building the roster? Honest question. Because he had been pushing for DeJounte Murray. Mm. He'd been recruiting DeJounte Murray for the last 3 weeks.
I don't think it's that. I really don't. I think it's very clear. Well, I think two things are clear. I think the front office has been shopping around stars for probably the better part of 2 years now. And I think part of evaluating whether they wanted to like take this leap and make this investment, because you get one shot at it, is probably asking Trey, hey, what do you think about this? And I think that matters, but I don't think it was Trey being like, go get DeJounte Murray.
He's not LeBron-ing the situation.
No. But I mean, I'm sure it matters if he's like, I really like playing with Clint and I want him to stick around. And like that factors in.
Yeah.
But he's not at the point of like, yeah, go sign, you know, go get Justin Holiday for me. You know, like that, doesn't.
Well, you're getting some tweet emojis if you trade Capella in Atlanta from Trey. I'm just going to go ahead and guess that we'll get some raised eyebrow valid, yeah. emoji tweets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be, it's kind of understood where it's like, they don't even have to ask. It's like, they know that like tread lightly on the Capella Trey relationship front. That's, I don't know. I think it's, it would be silly to assume that they're not engaged with Trey on what they're doing. I think, especially when you're at the Supermax and his involvement and how critical he is to where this team's going, I would assume it's not like he's okaying what's being done. But they're texting about, like, I'm sure there's conversations.
It's also important, like part of making this trade and the bet on this trade is that Trey and DeJounte can play together and both of them have to adjust their games to thrive together, right? So if Trey's not bought in on that and is like, this guy's going to cut into my usage or whatever, and like, I don't, you know, I'm better than him, whatever, then the fit's not going to work, because part of this is getting a secondary creator and working with Trey, and that's going to be an adjustment period. If Trey's bought into that, it's a lot more believable that it'll work. If he's not bought into that, it doesn't seem very believable that it will. So I do think that's important. But I would like to go back to DeJounte, because I think we get caught up a lot in like value and how many first round picks is too many and whatever. Of all the names we've floated over the last year or so on this podcast, like, I think DeJounte is, besides like Jaylen Brown, who's obviously unattainable right now, maybe my favorite fit. Like, better than Beal, better than Ben Simmons, better than, you know, Wiggins and Poole, whatever. Like, better than Ayton, better than Gobert. Like, this is the outcome that I think makes me most excited. And so I think that's important, because, you know, we talked about, like, no trade is ever going to be perfect. It's not going to be the perfect star at the perfect time for the perfect price. But I think this is like a 90th percentile outcome in terms of making a trade. And it's also still not the consolidation trade that is still to be made. Like, there's still too many guys on this roster. And so I think that that's important to say. DeJounte's a 25-year-old all-star guard who on paper complements Trey really well and covers up a lot of the weaknesses that this team had last year. And so I think that that's sort of like the core of why I'm still excited, even if it was like maybe a slight overpay, and if I wish they had like top five protections on those picks and stuff.
I don't know. I think the DeJounte thing, Charks and I were texting about this at the Ringer after it happened, and he was focusing on the Trey fit of like, how is this going to work? And this is something that I think Hawks fans is excited. Like, I wrote about this a little bit this week too. It's just that, like, generally speaking, the history of two all-star guards pairing up in their prime, pretty good results in the NBA. And that usually they figure it out. Usually they figure out how to coexist. And you could have been worried that I think the closest comp these days is like Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Where you bring in Chris Paul, who is a guy who's a leader, who's going to have a certain expectation and has grew up in a different kind of system and that kind of thing. And then like Devin, you have to adapt. Like, this is now we're co-pilots here. Like, this is not your entire show anymore, but it'll win a lot of games and we could win an NBA championship playing this way. I also think the thing to watch with Trey, and I think he obviously saw the Miami series humble him in a lot of ways. Like, that was rough. And I'm sure he looked around the league and was like, hey, and looked around this roster too. And was like, I need help. I can't do this. I've reached the point where I cannot do that kind of run that I did in 2021 year over year, just with me leading the charge and having that kind of offensive usage. He's never played with a usage rate over 30% like this as a lead ball handler. That's never happened. So I don't see Murray just being like, yeah, I'll just, I won't bring the ball up much. I won't do this. I won't. That's why I think stagnating these dudes is so critical for next year, but I still have my doubts that's how that will go. It's one thing to want that guy, and I think Trey respects DeJounte and understands the fit and understands the defense first mindset. Like, there's a reason that it's DeJounte, Mo Harkless, and Justin Holiday to this point. Like, there is an understanding that we have to be better defensively, even if that means sacrificing the offensive fit, because I think what will trouble Atlanta fans early on next year is the offense is going to dip. Like, the offense is going to be pretty ugly early on, I think. I don't think this is a smooth transition going from what this team was rolling out last year to DeJounte, Justin Holiday, maybe Mo Harkless and Capella at the five. Like the shooting will not be there early on. And that's like when you trade Kevin Huerter and when you didn't really develop a shooter potentially in Jalen Johnson and you don't really have, like if Bogey's not healthy, suddenly it gets pretty sparse on the shooting front. And that's just more on Trey's plate. But it's one thing to respect another superstar's game. It's another thing entirely to play with him 82 games and to learn and to be an off-ball guy because we've never seen Trey do this. So Trey can like think this is good for me and love it. And then in practicality in game seven, he's like, I don't like being off-ball. I don't like cutting. I don't want to. It sounded great, but now they're asking me to do this and I don't like it. Like that is absolutely a possibility that he might not enjoy this. And it was one of those things where he respected DeJounte. It should make sense, but Trey could not like it. That is absolutely in play where Trey does not like being off ball and does not like being a secondary creator and playing second fiddle some nights to DeJounte. Like that is absolutely a possibility. We just don't know.
It leads me to believe that based off of like what you were talking about, like with the amount of bodies that we have currently, the way the rotation is going to work out, then the lack of shooting, it really leads me to believe that the Hawks aren't even close to being done. I just have a feeling that another move is coming. We don't know what it is. I have no earthly idea. I don't think we have the assets to go after a Kevin Durant. I just don't. I think that's just.
I don't want that's Kevin Durant. Like
I'm not saying that I want him.
Like,
not.
I don't want to deal with this anymore.
You
like,
add Kevin Durant to this roster. You add Kevin Durant to this roster, and it's immediately competing for championships. But at the same time, for what it's going to cost, I just don't think that we have the assets to even give it the time of day. So I'm not even going to consider that.
I mean, look at what Rudy Gobert just pulled in. Like the price for KD just went up.
Rudy Gobert's price point is just absolutely absurd. Murray,
the Suns are right. Like Devin Booker is the starting point. You want,
DeAndre Ayton on an expiring contract.
That's
is
not
gonna
enough.
Be enough. It's not going to be enough. And so the Suns are in a difficult position. I think they're in a very difficult position. I don't think he goes to Phoenix. I really don't know who's going to make this deal. Toronto might do.
I still am betting on New Orleans. Heat. I think New Orleans by supermaxing Zion and they want the eyeballs. Like Brandon Ingram is the kind of guy you can trade Kevin Durant for. Like that contract and you bring him in. I think, and then it's kind of like an FU to KD on the way out of just like, we're not sending you to where you want to go.
He doesn't have a no trade clause, right?
Yeah. Like it's
so, yeah, screw him. I mean, look, I mean, if you're going to screw us over, we're going to go get the best possible deal that we can.
Right.
Send him to OKC.
Like Kyrie, you're going to Sacramento. We'll see you next. Like, we're just, like I don't know why.
Picks.
Why would they do it? Why would they throw Kevin or Kyrie a solid? Like I don't know them personally, but as
they
players,
won two playoff series,
right? Like I don't. Poor Ben Simmons. He's just sitting there. Like what does my roster even look like next year?
But, no, but ultimately, I don't think the Atlanta Hawks are done making moves. There's something else that's going to come. John Collins. I mean, he's still in the roster as of now. I don't know what they're going to do necessarily, but they need to add shooters. They need to add more wings.
We should mention Gallo's gone too, right? Like Gallo's another shooter who's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of Boston, they have Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari. Oh, that's a fun team. That's going to be a very good team next year. They're probably the best team in the Eastern Conference now. And yeah, I know they just came out. They're fresh off of the Eastern Conference finals, but NBA finals, I should say, but they have been the best team in the NBA or the Eastern Conference of the NBA for, I think at least it's February, right? They're number one in defensive and offensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. If they weren't number one, then they were top three. Since
I still don't think they beat the Bucks if Middleton doesn't miss that series. I think the Bucks win that series.
Yeah, I'll take Milwaukee still. Yeah, but I agree with you. Also, Danilo does not move. I mean, we watched him try to play defense. Like, I don't think he plays in a playoff series next year, to be honest. But
well, it's more shooting.
Huerter.
Yeah, Huerter's gone. Like, if that's Huerter.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you're talking about the Hawks. Yeah. Yeah. I think Garrett's right. Like, this is not the team that's going to be rolling out the ball in the opener. And I think it's important to, like, I have no idea who's going to start at the four. Assuming John Collins is gone, like, let's see what happens there. I don't know who's going to trade for John Collins right now. Like, we're talking about Washington, and I assume that would be Kuzma in a pick. I think Kuzma would get some eye rolls in Atlanta just because of his name and because what people know about him with the Lakers and stuff. I think Kuzma would be a solid addition, to be honest, but he's long. He can shoot a little bit. He rebounds. But, like, I don't know what what return for John Collins is going to like engender like a, oh, like that's exciting. You know, it's going to be some combination of a player who's worse than John Collins and probably a pick to recoup some of that DeJounte deal. And like that, I would have been probably happier about that if it weren't for the Herter deal, you know, where you're it's really like, oh, we Herter already kind of,
you're really hurt by
I this. Just think it makes them much worse. Like, I think Kevin Herter was really is a really underrated NBA player because he does so many things. And I think Bogey, you're right. Bogey's better at like, we, you know, Trey doesn't have it tonight and we just need a guy to step in and get it. But Bogey's not as reliable. He's not as healthy. And he's A, much older. And B, he doesn't guard. Like, Herter could step in and guard, you know, a longer wing in a pinch. You know, like, Bogey doesn't do that. And like,
but they haven't drafted Bogey replacements. They've drafted Herter replacements. The point of Herter is,
I would say AJ Griffin is like fills more of the Bogey role than the Herter role. Like size wise, he's more like Herter, but like
he doesn't. What have is that. AJ? He doesn't
next
have
year.
That
AJ Griffin's not stepping in next year and like.
Well, no,
guarding.
It should be Jalen. Like it should be Jalen, but
no, it needs
he
to be Jalen.
All that.
If
year.
It's not Jalen, if it's not Jalen, then this is I don't know. If he's not in the rotation, it's a wasted pick.
Right. I would agree.
I'm sorry. Like he's not playing in the G League.
But would it be that? Would it be that big of a like surprise if the 20 whatever overall pick was a wasted pick? Like that happens all the time.
Well, not AJ, but what was Jalen?
No. That's what I'm saying. Jalen was 20.
Jalen was 20.
Was he really?
People acted like he was the 8th overall pick.
Because he fell because of the talent. I mean, he was a highly recruited guy to Duke, and like you know, he disappointed Duke. Like it wouldn't be surprising to me at all if Jalen Johnson wasn't an NBA player, and the same for you know. I'd be a little disappointed.
I mean, that's
AJ
where you
Griffin.
Drafted Herter and Collins, though. Like that, you hit on those two.
Right,
outside
right.
The
but you hit on
but
Herter.
But you also look at the team that they were drafted to, and it's a completely different.
If you're hitting, yeah, if you're hitting on 50% at that range, like you're doing well.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And so that's why I'm like, if this team's really trying, that's why I'm a little bit like, the DeJounte trade wasn't really to like compete immediately, in my view. Like I think it's more like. Here are these two all-star guards. They're both awesome. They're both 25 and under. We have a big guy we really like to build around, and we have a wing that we're excited as sort of part of that core. And then we'll build a roster out from there. And that's why I think it's a little bit misguided to say, like, oh, push the chips in. They're all in. Like, it is the push the chips in move, but it's not like a we're trying to win the title next year move.
So what's the move to win the title?
Like, isn't that the question?
I think it's a million-dollar question. It's a question that Travis Schlenk is going to be asked, especially if this fails.
Well, they've already made it because like you're not going to get another all-star in here. Like the move is like these that DeJounte and Trey are both top 10 players and are borderline for first.
Yeah,
it's banking on
both of them improve. It's more of the like Tatum and Brown model than anything else, right? It's like here are these two young studs. They're going to continue to improve together. They complement each other pretty well, and like. The rest of it we will figure out, but the rest of it is easier than getting those two guys. And so, you know, Boston, like, it was not immediate with Boston and Tatum and Brown. Like, Tatum and Brown were awesome, and everyone was like, should they break them up? They're not winning. Like,
yeah.
And I think that it's going to be a similar thing of, like, I'm very confident Trey and DeJounte will play well together. But I think the rest...
Not immediately.
I mean, I think the first, like, 10-20 games could be a little weird.
It'll be
and I think it'll take some feeling out. But I think the lesson is that like figuring out the rest of it is going to be a little bit of a moving target. And I think we should not like if the Hawks are a 5-6 seed next year, we shouldn't like freak out and be like that trade was a failure. As long as we're like
a 5-6 seed next year, that's already an improvement from what they were.
I don't even care about the seeding. I just want to see like if DeJounte and Trey are good together and the numbers bear that out and they're both all-star players. I don't really care about everything else.
Right.
Because that's really all that matters. And you can figure it out the rest of the roster around them the next couple of years. Like you said, it's kind of like Morey had this model where it's like, I don't really give a shit about everything else until we have the two stars because nothing else matters. It's already hard enough to draft and develop one superstar. The Hawks did that. Then they got number two. Another all-star, and now you can just figure everything else out. And of course, Capella is involved in both of these scenarios. But I do think it's going to look the Hawks are kind of you mentioned they're on the Celtics model. I think it's going to be the Houston model with what they did with Westbrook and Harden, and before that was CP and Harden, and just a bunch of shooting defenders and then a rim running five. Because I don't think that's why I never believed in the Ayton fit, and why I think Trey wants a rim running five. I think they want to have a rim running five who does not want a lot of offensive responsibility. That's why John Collins is still so frustrated. Is I don't think they want their bigs to want to be superstars or want to have a huge variety of options on offense and run the offense through them. I think they want to run this thing through two guards who carry a heavy usage, and everybody else can space the floor and shoot. Like, it's like no Golden coincidence.
State. It's Golden State.
Golden State still had, I mean, Draymond was still initiating a lot of the offense. Draymond and Steph was all.
Yeah, I guess they didn't
it's have. It's hard to compare anything Steph. To Golden State.
True. Yeah, I guess they are kind of unicorns. Yeah, because Steph's not a true point guard. Right. He really isn't. He's a shooting guard who kind of takes the ball up.
And he was always okay playing off ball. Like, he was always.
He was shooting guard at Davidson. That's what he was. I mean, like, that's his. It's in his DNA. Yeah. And that's why he runs off ball. Clay's off ball.
Trey's not that personality.
Like, no. So actually, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. So it's more Houston. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
The difference with Houston is there are two things that are different with Houston and this, I think, is one is that I think Trey and DeJounte are a lot more complimentary than Harden and Westbrook were, or Harden and CP.
I say more Paul, like, Harden and CP. Paul and Chris Paul and James Harden. I don't want to say Westbrook.
Okay.
Get Westbrook out of here. No, I'm saying James Harden, maybe, and Chris Paul.
Maybe. I really like, you know, first of all, I think Trey is still an underrated star in the NBA.
But defender. But,
no. He's certainly not that. But the everything Trey doesn't do well, DeJounte does. And so I don't think that was the case with Harden and CP. I think it was more like, both of those guys are so, and I think this is a similarity. Both of those guys are so smart at basketball that they were able to make it work. I don't think the fit itself was very good. And I think the fit here could be really good. And I think both of these guys could be really smart. And the other difference is that both of these guys in theory are still before their prime. And I think when you get both of them cost controlled pre-prime, you can reasonably budget in growth from both of them. And I think that is sort of what's most exciting. When you put Harden and CP together, you knew what Harden and CP were. You knew exactly what they were. I think you can project out growth and also, like, build in this potential of, like, both of them continuing to grow from where they are. And I think that's, you know, that's where the Tatum and Brown comp, I think, comes in. But it's obviously more valuable when Tatum and Brown are wings rather than guards. It's just kind of how it works.
So that's almost impossible, drafting two all-star wings like that who can bring the ball up and do everything they want to do. But I also, my big concern too is that, like, I don't think Nate's the guy to make this offense.
That was my first thought too.
Yeah, like, Nate's out. Like, this is it. So for Hawks fans, like, this is not going to work because this is going to require some offensive ingenuity and creativity that I don't think when you watch the Nate offense, it's creative. I would not describe the Hawks half court offense as creative. I think he's a great defense first coach, and I think the defense got better with him, and like, that was something. But it's just getting Trey, DeJounte and this group to work and to be a top 10 offense and to really make all the pieces work. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think Nate is long for this roster anymore. So who that means is coming in the door for him, I don't know, but the next coach will be an offensive minded person. I'm going to go ahead and guess, because if you're starting a lineup with DeJounte and potentially Mo Harkless and Clint Capella, like three non-shooters potentially, and if Onyeka is not a shooter next year and he's still not, like, he wants to be a 38% corner 3-point shooter or whatever it is, like, that's great. But if he's not, and Bogey's hurt, and we're doing a bunch of non-shooters on the floor with Trey at all times, it's not going to work. I think this is it. Like, when I saw the DeJounte trade, my first thought was like, okay, Nate's gone. Like, this is just not going to work.
I don't think Mo Harkless is going to start. By the way, I would be really, really surprised.
It's him or Holiday. I guarantee. Like, I,
but no, it's not. No, it's July not. Whoever they get, whoever they're getting back, someone for Collins, who A is going to be a starter and B can shoot.
I disagree.
I would be stunned.
We need a bet on this.
It's gonna be a Harrison Barnes, Kyle Kuzma type.
I mean, Kyle Kuzma, if it's Kuzma, I think he win that one. I think he'll start at the four. If it's Kuzma,
you don't think Harrison Barnes will start over
Mo Harkless? I don't think that's happening. I think they're keeping
I don't think Harrison Barnes is coming here, though.
Yeah, I think they're, like, if you're trading for Herter and you're signing Monk, like, I think they're acquiring a bunch of rotation guys, and I don't think they're
fine. Yeah. But if you trade John Collins and you don't get a player back who can start, like,
I think that's happening.
then Jalen Johnson could be your guy. I mean, like,
no,
I think,
No.
Yeah. In time. Yeah. I think that the hope is that you start Mo Harkless, and then you hope that you're basically banking that Jalen Johnson's going to grow into that guy.
We're giving Max nightmares for tonight.
I will say
that. I mean, this is the reality of the situation. Like, what you're on
the same page, Garrett. Yeah.
The Hawks aren't getting better by trading John Collins. Yeah. They're just not. Right now, they're not.
The DeJounte Bogey second unit lineups are going to kill some teams.
Mm.
Those are
You're betting on Nate staggering DeJounte to the second unit.
Yes, dude. You have to be an idiot not to do. Like, everyone knows to do that.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think, dude, realistically, you should have one of those guys on the floor at all times.
I don't. I agree with you. I 100%. I'm taking notes.
You can
stagger in
such a way that they don't have to be on the floor together.
I think NBA coaching has progressed past the point of like coaches like Scott. What was it? Scott Brooks with OKC, like refusing to stagger Russ and KD. I think we have evolved past that thinking of like not understanding to stagger your two stars. Like I just
no
don't
do that.
It would be like every question anyone ever asks in a press conference would be like, why are you not staggering them until he finally does it?
Just I think it's going to happen.
I mean, but Nate is also notoriously stubborn. I mean, that man.
That's a fireable offense.
Our 27th offensive rating through 3 months is going to be a fireable offense.
Well, hold on. I want to touch on that for a quick second because you're really concerned about the offense, and I'm not.
They were the second best offense in basketball
like,
last year.
Trae Young, I understand like they traded Herter and lost Gallo and whatever, like all these parts, you know. Trae Young himself is a walking top 8 offense in the NBA. Like I don't really know like where the concern comes from. Besides, like,
as long as Trae Young is on this team and healthy, this is going to be a top offense.
Trae Young is one of the like 5 best offensive players in the NBA. I actually don't think that's
I don't think that's up for debate. I mean, because off of what he can do with the ball in his hands and passing and catching and shooting, just everything he does. Yeah, Max, 100%.
Yeah, so I just think like that's not my concern, and I do think like it's different to say like they're going to be a bad offense and like they're going to have some struggles in crunch time. Like I would have that second discussion, but I don't think there's a universe in which they're not like a top 10 offense next year. I just don't think it's really possible.
We'll see. Bookmark that July 1st that the Hawks are not outside the top 10 in offensive rating, because this will be one I'm going to just do an open clip of both of these.
Well, we're also stick the caveat in it. I'm comfortable. This is going to be a top 10 offense. I'm comfortable saying that. I also think that there's another move coming. I'll say it again. If you're going to clip it, I mean, clip this right here. They're making another move. I'm pretty confident that they're going to do something like that. So, but even still, it's going to be.
They are. I don't even need that caveat though. If Trae Young is healthy, the Hawks are a top 10 offense in the NBA, and I don't need any other qualifier.
I'll sign on the dotted line.
I wish Gary Payton was an option. He signed with Portland. Didn't that happen?
Big money.
Yeah.
He's got a big old fat contract.
Goes back home to Oregon State. Like, he was a Beaver, if I seem to recall correctly. Whatever that means anymore. Because Michigan, you got Michigan,
future
UCLA. Yeah. You got Michigan, USC. Noted Big Ten.
What a joke. That whole thing's a joke.
We'll end on this. Garrett, give us how you think the rest of this summer is going to go. Like, what do you think the Collins trade looks like? And what do you think is left on the plate? Do you think it's Hunter extension happens? Do you think a Collins trade happens? And then do you think the Hawks get one more big name piece in this rotation?
I think if they're going to make a move, they're going to make a move with John Collins. He's going to be a part of this deal. I think the assets that they picked, they still have one more pick, I think, right? They have their 2023 pick and then the 2029 pick, I guess.
They also have 2024, but they can't trade it, right?
Yeah, it's a swap, but that's a swap. So I think they have to hold on to that. Or no, 2025. It's 2025, but they can't trade it, I think, because that's the swap. So they have
no, 20, they traded,
2023. And
Jamie,
can
you look up the Hawks? Jamie, can you?
It's whatever pick. So they have the Kevin Herter pick, and then they have one other pick that just came in. That and John Collins could potentially be dealt for something. And then after that, that's when DeAndre Hunter gets the extension. And then they use that to go up into the luxury tax. But I can see them making one more big move and then signing DeAndre Hunter to a 3-year extension. I think that's realistically what's going to happen. I don't know who that's going to be yet. I need to go scour the.
I think the Hunter extension happens for sure. I think Collins has absolutely played his last game. He would not show up, I think, and take fines at this point. It might go a Ben Simmons type thing. Bad.
He's too much of a team player. He's not going to do that.
I don't know.
He's not going to do that. That doesn't seem like his nature. That just doesn't seem like something John Collins.
If I was John Collins, I wouldn't blame him for going
about it
that way.
I wouldn't blame him if he did it. I just don't think it's in his nature to do that. So I'm not going to. If Travis Schlenk and the Atlanta Hawks ask him to play, he'll play.
I don't know. That I would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Hey, we didn't find anything again. You're back. You're in the starting lineup, John. So you're here for at least another couple
until
weeks.
The trade deadline, and then just get used to we're going to keep talking about you.
We love you though. We're happy you're here. We're really thrilled that you're here. John Collins is a great player, and all the lineups like him, and him and Trey play well. It's just the dumbest thing, and he's like a huge home run. If you look around the draft from his draft in 2017. Every player around him is on a different team or out of the NBA. Leaf, Ferguson, everybody. And he's a home run development guy for the Hawks. And they're just
great player.
They have to move him. And just, it's stupid. Max, I'll ask you the same question. John Collins, DeAndre Hunter extension. And if there is one more big mover, it's mostly done. And they just nibble around the edges to fill out the rest of the rotation.
I don't really see the other big move if they're not willing to move Capella. I think it's. God, I guess it's not impossible they would trade Bogey, but I think at this point that's kind of off the table. I think the Hunter extension happens. I'll be curious to see the number, and I'll be curious to see the years. And I think the Collins trade, on some level, I get the Collins trade. I think we've never really figured out the fit with Collins and Capella together. And so on some level, I don't think the Hawks are maximizing what Collins could be, but it really does feel like they're selling low for no reason on that deal. I think it's going to happen. I think it's too kind of the cat's out of the bag there. And I think it'll be every single move the Hawks make this offseason, I think you'll look back and say that was for defense. And I think that the Collins move will be for a wing who can shoot and play defense and another first round pick. And I would hope that's a first round pick that you can sell as a real first round pick and not crazy protected. And then you can sort of look back on the offseason and say they traded DeJounte, they traded Gallo's whatever, and one first for DeJounte. Oh, Collins and a first and Gallo's whatever for DeJounte if you recoup two of those first round picks and Herter. I don't know. A lot going on. But I think there's going to be a lot of confusion at the end of this Hawks offseason of what's the plan here? Are they all in? Are they not all in? And I think it'll be helpful to look at it from more of a long-term perspective than a short-term perspective, like we talked about earlier. I think this is about building for the long haul around Trey and DeJounte. And I don't think this is about we have a two-year window to go win a title. And I think that that's a super important way to look at it, and that's how I'm going to look at it. And I think that's why you trade Herter. That's why you trade Collins, because long-term, that's not how it's they're not part of the plan here. And so I think it's weird to ask for patience after you just traded two unprotected picks and an unprotected pick swap for a star. But I think that is kind of the frame I'm going in with.
I like that mindset, actually. The more I think about it, because it's because Murray's about to get paid, and hopefully the Hawks are the ones who are paying him. Because if he walks in 2024, this is a cataclysmic failure. You're assuming that he's going to be on this team 2024 and beyond. And I did look it up. Yeah, 16 mil this year and next year. And if it doesn't work next year with Nate, very good chance that he's gone.
I think he might try and renegotiate this summer, right? Why would you not try and see what you can do?
I heard about this or read about this. There's a cap rule where when you sign on an extension on a rookie deal, you can only up that extension on the next extension 120% of that deal. So they can't actually offer him a full max extension yet, he's going to get on the open market. Yeah. And the same is true for Jaylen Brown. I saw all those guys are going to, cause the cap's going up. And so the max is going up. So those guys are all going to wait it out to unrestricted free agency.
To understand all the NBA.
I know. Stuff. I don't either, but it's I was the same much. Way. I'm like, aren't they just going to give him a max extension right now and end this? And I think we're going to have to go to unrestricted free agency, which is
or restricted terrifying. Free agency.
Or
we'll be able to, but we'll be able to offer him the most money because
I think they'll have his bird rights. Yeah, but
we'll have bird rights. So he transfers his bird rights to the Atlanta Hawks. So we'll have the ability to offer him the most money. And Tony Ressler's already said, look, I'm not scared of going into the luxury tax. And then he goes and trades Kevin Huerter to avoid having to pay the luxury tax.
Well, he had a caveat, didn't he, like for a winner? So it's like one of those where a lot of those owners where it's like, when we have a winner, I'll do it. It's like no one's going to be the Lakers. Yeah. Part of being the winner is going into the luxury tax.
But the more I'm listening to this and like seeing like what Max is coming from with it, the more I see that this is, I don't want to call it a transition year because I think the Hawks can win a lot of games this year.
Mm.
I don't think they're not going to be, I don't think they're necessarily going to be, barring some insane come together, come to Jesus moment where they just sort of blow up and all come together and it just works perfectly and win a championship. I don't see that happening. I see this as more of a move the way you said it. I like the way you said it, where it's like, this is more a move for the next 5 years, as much as it is for the move for the next two.
And Hawks fans, don't fret about like when they saw, I saw a lot of people were really nervous about the unprotected picks and that kind of thing. And what that looks like in 2027. Okay. Here's the thing. If Trey wasn't happy and you did nothing, it's all over for a long time anyway. You have to understand that this is it anyway. Like, picks or not, you're going into some bleak, bleak waters if Trey's not happy and he wants out in 2023, 2024. Like, it's over for a while. Like, you're going to be in a really bleak, empty highlight factory for several years. Picks or not, you can get a couple of those picks back. But, like, ultimately, if this flames out and, like, the last thing you'll be worried about is, oh, where'd our picks go? No, you can get those picks back and you can figure stuff out. But like, you're not taking a chance. Like, if this does not go well with DeJounte and Trey, like, it was going to be bleak either way. And if it didn't go with Trey, it was going to be really, really rough for the foreseeable future. I don't think that's how you can go about it. I think you have to look at it as like you dive into the deep end, you see what happens. And then every fan, I think, should be like, hey, they at least tried. They took a swing to make Trey happy. They took a swing to make this offense and defense work more effectively. They took a big swing, and that's more than what the Hawks have done our entire lifetimes. They've never taken a swing like this.
And we've been asking them. I mean, you get a generational four Hawks fan, superstar, and Trey Young, and we have been asking them to take this swing for 2 years now, right? Like, you can't then nitpick like, oh, you know, I think this is the right swing at the right time, and it's absolutely not without risk. Like, there is tons of risk. DeJounte Murray leaves in free agency. If Trey gets hurt, whatever, like, those picks, that could be a nightmare, right? But like, that is not, I think every fan should be excited that they took that swing. And so I think that's, you know, we can't like be like, oh, you know, throw it all in for a superstar. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, 2027 is unprotected. It's like,
yeah,
at some point you just got to go for it with Trey.
Every team that wins a championship wins it to some level of high risk. It's high risk, high reward. That's the only way that you win in the NBA. Look at the Cavs. Look at the Heat. Look at what the Raptors did when they went and got Kawhi. Look at the only one who didn't win that way, probably the San Antonio Spurs. That's it. Like, because most of these guys, they win a championship and then they suck when they lose those core guys because they disappear. They go off and they go to the next team, and you have only so many bites at the apple. So you want to set yourself up as best as possible. And I think this is Max. I agree. Like, I think this is the right swing at the right time because these are two guys at similar points in their career with similar trajectories, with Trey as the leader, clear leader, and DeJounte is a clear number two. And I think that there is an understanding that that's how this dynamic is going to take place. And that's something I'm comfortable building around.
I hope they're best friends. I don't know what their personalities are like. That's what I want.
They've been recruiting. He's been recruiting him for 3 weeks. So that makes me. And they've played together in the past on these teams, and they played on the Team USA. Those teams that they're, I guess, I don't know, even know what to call them, the camp teams or whatever. I think when they played in the FIBA Championship Series, and then they were on the All-Star teams together, and then they seemed comfortable enough to push and play, and now he's here. And look, I'm in.
I want it to be the Joe Milton Hendon Hooker dynamic. We want that level of closeness that Tennessee has in the quarterback room. You want them to have.
I was wondering how Joe Milton could get wedged.
I wondered how
this
Tennessee was
going.
Yeah. Do you see he's 13th in the early Heisman rankings?
Joe Milton.
No, Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, I mean, if 13th. He's that doesn't surprise me. Hendon,
they'll throw the ball about 100 times a game, so might as well.
Well, hold on. Okay, I'm not taking any Tennessee slander as we wrap up here on a Saturday or
Friday. They can't play defense. They'll play the whole game from behind, so it's fine.
That's not how Tennessee was up on Georgia the first quarter. Like, no, that's their whole thing. A hypo thing is that the tempo just jumps out at people and they're in a bind, like in a bind immediately. Like, that's
good thing they played four quarters, man.
Okay, that's enough. I'm not going to take this going into the weekend. Garrett, Max, always a pleasure. I greatly appreciate it, guys. Find you on Twitter, GChapATL, Max underscore Markovich. Thank you as always, and I'll talk to y'all next week.
Thank you.
All right, thank y'all for checking out the Chase the Most podcast here on a Saturday, July 2nd, 2022 edition. Parts 1 through 3, all complete. So if you missed any of the other portions of today's show, guess what? If you are subscribed on your preferred podcast player, you get access to all of my previous episodes. Throughout the day, we had a jam-packed Saturday, July 2nd edition, so go check those out this holiday weekend. That would be great. Like and subscribe, youtube.com/ChaseTheMostPodcast. Video content all over the place there, and access to all the video versions of this podcast if you'd rather watch it. That is available too. Tweet at me, Chase_Thomas. Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. And then, of course, email this program at ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. All right, new episodes coming out soon. We'll see how the rest of this weekend, holiday weekend goes, but next week, jam-packed as well. And I might talk to you guys again before then, but we shall see. All right, Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.